world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, been a whirlwind going around me. Just gotta be honest with you. You know, we had the event at Sky High on, was that Sunday night? And then Dave and Sherry Allison came in, spent, a day and a half with us. They left and that was great fellowship. And Chad came in and had great fellowship. And I mean, it's just been a lot going on. And I think it's Thursday. And Gino, is it Thursday? Somebody give me a thumbs up somewhere along the line. I lost track of what day it was. And Chad's in the chat here today. He's delivering something up to New York or whatever. And he was here yesterday as well. And I feel bad because, you know, I'd love for you guys to get to sit down. There's nothing like sitting down and looking in somebody's eyes as opposed to a screen. And I just really value those opportunities to get together like that. And here's, you may not believe this, but Dave Allison and I don't agree on everything. Me and Chad don't agree on everything. Carl Barber, who came yesterday out of nowhere, we don't agree on everything. Sheila Holm, who was here the other day, we don't agree on everything. Come on. It's an open forum. We're all working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And I would say this without any hesitation. If you're in the queue and you're passing through and you need a place to stay, I'll be careful who I say that to. We're open. Sky High, if it's open, man, you can stay at Sky High. And just whatever it is, man, just whatever it is. So it's been kind of whirlwind a few days for me trying to get my feet back under me. So anybody, for the good of the group here real quickly before I dive in, Mel's got something on the, go ahead, Mel. I keep forgetting to read those daggone songs. I'm sorry. I hope you're doing, I'm forgetting too.
Yeah, go Coach, ahead, I just put the PDF that you're referring to in the chat. If you want to, since you're at the website though, go to the resources tab and that's where it's located. So if you aren't able to to download it from the chat, just go to thelibertyactionnetwork.com. It's that second one there.
Yeah.
And there it is.
Thanks, Mel, for all you're doing. What psalm are we supposed to be doing today? Dispenser, is that on there, Mel? What psalm?
I don't know.
Shame on me too. I don't know either. Okay. Craig, anybody out there know what psalm we're supposed to be doing today?
Sundays was 77, so you just got to add it up.
Well, do that for me, Craig, because I got a lot of stuff in my head. My brain doesn't always
add up. I'll put it in the chat for you.
Okay, because I really would like to do that.
81.
Psalm 81? Okay, let's try that one. Thanks, Mel. Do you know something? The Psalms are so deep. They are so deep, man. They're so deep. There's unbelievably deep theology in those Psalms. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. How often do you do that? Sing out loud. We do when we go to church. That's about it, right? Take a psalm. Bring it to me. Bring Heather the timbrel. The pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet and the new moon. The time appointed. On our solemn feast day, blow the trumpet. Just blow the shofar. I got one out to blow then. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language. I didn't even understand the language he was speaking. Now removed his shoulder from the burden and his hands were delivered from the pots. Do you understand? Do you understand, folks? If we just did research on what he's talking about, the pots, bird removed from his shoulder, these all have deep meaning. His hands were delivered from the pots. Because we have to go back in the time of what he was dealing with. They caught, thou caughtst in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Does anybody know about the waters of Meribah? I don't know. I don't know the first thing about the waters of Meribah. Probably be a good study to do, wouldn't it? Rather than six steps to be happy, that would probably be a better study. Hear, O my people, and I'll testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou will hearken to me. Come on, Israel, listen to me, will you? There shall no strange God be in thee. Uh-oh, don't get me going on that one. Who's he talking to? Come on, English, connect the previous sentence. O Israel, there shall be no strange God in thee. Neither shall thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord, the God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I'm going to fill it, dude. But my people, they wouldn't listen to me. And Israel, sorry, would have none of me. Hey, David, does Israel have anything of him today? Hey, my friends, does Israel have anything of him today? They would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels. And oh, that my people would just listen to me. And oh, if just Israel just walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Wow. Steep, isn't it? The haters of the Lord. Did you know those God haters? You know there's a lot of them out there. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. But their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them. His enemies should have fed him with the finest of the wheat, with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? They still reject him, folks. They still reject him. Amen. I want to jump into something here real quick today. I got a couple emails. And I got emails accusing me in a nice way of abandoning Thomas Massie. Now, if you guys listened to the show yesterday, I said I stand with Thomas Massie. I believe he's righteous. I believe he's a constitutionalist. I believe he has great intentions at heart. But I also said he needs to learn to compromise. He needs to learn to compromise. Because when Thomas Massie takes his principled stand, it's often in opposition to his team. It's in opposition to his team. And so the whole idea of trying to be a team player, are you looking at me? Because I'm going to give you some stuff that you ain't never, that you just haven't grasped. Sometimes being a team player requires give and take, compromise. How many of you have your own team at home called a family? Raise your hand if you have your own team. Some of you have bigger teams than other teams of others. Some are just husband and wife teams. Some have 10 kids. Some have 13 grandkids. You mean to tell me that your family is going to be able to live together, rule together, run together without compromise? What the hell's wrong with you folks? What's wrong with you? It doesn't work in your house. It certainly isn't going to work in the state house, in the Congress house. It's not. Thomas Massie is a principled man. God bless Thomas Massie. I wish we had a Congress full of them, but we don't. And because Thomas Massie is principled and takes his stand, he often ends up playing on the other team. Somebody give me a thumbs up on that, please. Somebody give me a thumbs up that you understand the point that I'm making. Point that you're... I like Thomas Massie. I like him. I said this, hey, Massie, release the Epstein files now, dude. Huh? You got nothing to lose. Reduce them. So we'll find... release them. So we'll find out if he's going to compromise on that or is he going to blast him out there, okay? So hang on, hang on. So I said, the politics, can somebody help me out here? There's an old saying that politics is the art of, somebody help me. Politics is the art of?
Compromise.
Compromise. Right? Family living, marriage requires the art of compromise. And, okay, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Are you ready, folks? You ready? Pull up for me number 9. This will float your boat. Let me say it again. I support Thomas Massie. The religious affiliation of the members of the 119th Congress. Look at this. I'm not going to read their names. Protestant unspecified. Catholic. Catholic. Baptist. Protestant unspecialized. Baptist. Congregationalist. Baptist. Protestant unspecified. Methodist. Methodist. Restorationist. I don't even know what the hell that is. Baptist. Catholic. Baptist. 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 Methodist. Catholic. Protestant. Unaffiliated. Catholic. Mormon. Protestant. Catholic. Unaffiliated. Catholic. 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 Hey, how do you take this group of people and advance, hey, Unitarian Universalists, humanist. How do you take those guys and advance anything without some compromise? Because I'm going to tell you something. Every decision you make when you're in a group will require some compromise. Now, for all of you who are sending me emails and complaining that I'm supporting compromise. How many of y'all out there have compromised on abortion? They're using your tax dollars and murdering babies. And I don't hear you howling about it. Is there such thing? Somebody help me out here. Is there such thing as a pro-choice Christian? Help me out here. Such a thing as a pro-choice Christian? Yeah. So I simply stated yesterday, I'm going to get off of this. I simply stated yesterday that Thomas Massie, in his unwillingness to, he's in Congress, for heaven's sakes. He's standing alone on many issues. God bless him for standing alone on many issues, holding the line. God bless Thomas Massie. But often when he refuses to compromise, he's on the other team. Hey, Gene, does that make sense? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? We need 1,000 Thomas Massies. But if Thomas Massie wants to help advance, he's going to have to compromise on some issues.
Dave, I think what you're trying to say is that when Massie votes for or opposes, let's say, the Republicans' agenda,
say that
then he strengthens the Democrat agenda.
That's it, Chad.
Yeah.
That's it. He's not playing on the other team, but if they can remove one vote from the Republican side, they've accomplished what they're trying to do. I'm for Thomas Massie. But his unwillingness to compromise when politics is the art of compromise. Hey, look at all those Christians. Everybody see all those Christians? Those Christians are supporting abortion. I don't hear any of you out there griping about that. All right. So you say, Coach, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that there are certain times when we have to compromise for the common good. And if Thomas Massie were to vote for the SAVE Act, which somebody help me, he hasn't, has he? He hasn't voted for the SAVE Act. He's not in on the SAVE Act. He's gone against the will of 78% of Republicans who he claims to represent. I'm going to back off of this because I don't want to talk about Thomas Massie. I don't want to talk about him. But I'm going to say this. Hey, Massie, whose team you on? Whose team you on? Go be independent. Then you can be on your own team and you won't ever have to compromise. Both teams. I don't want to be on either team. But you got to be on one. And he picked one too. And you pick one team, one as well. And then he won't. Oh, hey, Kate, you got it? I want to move on. Hey, I look. Anyway, call me any name you want to call me. It don't matter. Don't matter. Kimberly, come on in real quickly. I want to move on. Go ahead.
Yeah, Coach, I just questioned that there are two teams.
There you go. That's a better one. Yeah.
I don't think there are, and that's why I think what a brave man he is to stand out and not go.
I never said anything opposite than that.
Amen.
I never said anything. He's brave and all that kind of stuff, but he's not advancing his team.
Well, can we be so, if we were elected to Congress, let's say, and could we be so principled that we become ineffective?
That's my point, Chad. That's a great question. That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
So this is what, you know, by being more rigid, not saying he needs to compromise this, sometimes it's a winning and losing. And, you know, you're not in there to make, now you got voted out. Now you can't make any difference in that thing. So what you're saying.
So Chad, compromise is this. Say, okay, I'll vote for this, but you got to vote for this. That's compromise. That's what compromise is. All right. My wife and I, we compromise every time. I want to go get chicken and she wants to go get Chinese. All right, honey. We'll compromise. We'll stay home. You cook it. not really, but you get it, right? Marriage is complicated.
Yeah.
Everything's complicated.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay. Amen. So, wow. Mark French, come on in, Mark. Get unmute. Jack.
Yeah, you're talking about a conundrum, and Chad just hit it pretty hard. I think that one of the problems for Massie is, I believe that he has an overall understanding of the Constitution, whereas all the rest pick and choose. They cherry pick the Constitution, and he's got a much broader overall understanding of the actual Constitution. Trump often says things that are blatantly anti-constitution. So it's a conundrum for him.
So Jack, it's pretty simple to me. If you don't support the Republican Party, be an independent. Just be an independent. Don't say you're on that team. That's my point. Try it again, Mark.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So every elected official swears an oath of office, correct?
Yeah.
You swore an oath to be fidelity with Michelle, correct?
I did.
How can you say, I'll vote for this, and you know it's wrong, if you vote for that? How can you hold your oath before God, asking God to come down on you? Vengeance.
Okay, so do me a favor. Pull up a number. I'm not ignoring you, Mark. Hang on there a second. Pull up vague oaths. Pull up three. Pull up three.
Now we don't have Thomas Massie. Now we don't have Marjorie Taylor Greene. We don't have that light.
Okay, so hang on, Mark. Hang on. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. And I take this obligation freely without any mental reservations or purpose or evasion, and that I will and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter. So help me God. Hey, they ought to all be out of Congress, because they don't, any of them, do that. They don't, any of them, do that.
So if you were
that's why we have such compromise. They don't do that. In fact, so help me, many gods. So help me, the Buddhist gods. So help me, Shinto. So help me, whatever. They're not even on the same page when they take the friggin' oath.
So the people in Massey district that voted for him, were they wrong in doing that?
Well, hey, listen, how about the 40% who didn't vote for him? Does he represent them as well? See, this ain't as easy as it sounds, is it? You know what else I'm mad about? Why didn't Thomas Massey get on his horse and ride as hard as he can to end abortion? Can you help me with that one? Can you? To me, that's a hell of a lot more important than a lot of the crap he ain't voting for. They're murdering damn babies. Where does he stand? Oh, he's pro-life, I suppose. Why did he turn all of his guns and end baby killing? That'd be my question. Hey, Mark, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. This thing ain't cut and dried. Because I just showed you. Pull those denominations back up, Spencer. Pull them back up. Because I'm going to guarantee you they don't all agree on the truth. That's the problem. Can two walk together lest they agree? And look how many of them don't even agree on who's God and what's meant. Look at that. Look at that.
They just contend.
And I would say this. A lot of those people who got their name, look at the Protestant unspecified, humanist, non-denominational. Huh? Do they even serve the Lord? Do they even serve the Lord? Or did they just have to, like when you're filling out an application, did they have to check a religion? So I'm this. And so Thomas Massey is in a wicked, wicked, unprincipled system. And he's a guy of principle, and God bless him. I'm for him. I support him. But he is not advancing the team's agenda. Now you say, well, coach, but he's doing the right thing. He's saying the right thing. He's following the Constitution. Well, then he ought to have his own damn party. Because at some point, he's going to have to figure out which team he's on. That's the way I take it. Huh? Yang or yang? Yang or yang? You can't be Ying and we're trusting you, and then I'm Yang. I'm Yang. That's my complaint. And I didn't and will not criticize Thomas Massey. God bless him. He's followed his conscience. But he's helping the Democrats. Judah, come on in.
Good stuff, Coach. Great seeing you this weekend.
You too, Jen.
Obviously, for those people who are paying close attention. You know, I had a great conversation actually this weekend with Doc Pete Chambers, state of Texas. And I asked him this question. I said,
he's running for governor, folks, in Texas. Pete Chambers running for governor in Texas.
And people are like, oh, okay, well, that's over. Well, the topic of election interference. Smartmatic, Dominion. Put it this way. They caught them all. And all the people were able to bear witness to what happened. Let's move over to Virginia. Virginia. Rinse and repeat. What did they do? They woke up all the people. They caught them all. I'm going to come here to Ohio and step on some toes. Elections happened. All the rhinos just seemed to win hands down.
Yep. Unprincipled people. Unprincipled people.
Let me go back here to Kentucky. What happened? Is there any way, shape, or form, Ed? Former SEAL, former everything else, who's not anything about America. They caught them all. And as you start to think about this, what are they doing? They are jogging the minds of the American people to show them what corruption really looks like. And I'll say this about Thomas Massie. Support him or don't support him, it doesn't matter. 2020, it's not over yet.
Amen.
These
Amen.
People, Thomas included, have you ever heard him talk about the 2020 elections being rigged? Not one word. Guys, right now, we are witnessing an operation shaking violently the people to wake them up, to show them before it happens. I know it's hard, it's painful, but we are all witnesses to the massive crime that has taken place. And so when that election EO is pulled, every single person is going to understand why.
So here's what I say, Judd. Thomas Massie's still in there for what, another 6 months or whatever? Is he going to release the Epstein files?
I think it's bigger than that.
I think it's bigger than that too. But if he's a man of principle, now that he doesn't have to get reelected, then release the files. I think it's bigger than that, though. I think you're right.
And will he release them? The answer is no, because you know what? He didn't release anything about the J6ers, and he didn't release anything about the 2020 elections. Yeah. And so these guys are all caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
They are.
And we are watching the biggest display of political espionage, sedition, treason that we've ever witnessed in human history. And this was great. Being in D.C. over the weekend, as you walk by the Department of Justice, Trump put his own mug on the side of the building. I mean, his own pictures.
All right, I get it. God bless you, Judah. God bless you, huh? Look, I'm going to say this, and I'm off of Trump, okay? Do you guys really think that Donald Trump is trying to get rich off of the government? Jeezy peasy. Really? The easiest thing for him to do is just kind of ride off in the sunset and do whatever he wants to do. And I'm not here to – I'm not riding on his back. I'm thinking he's a horse. Jack, come on, and then Kevin.
Yeah, you just read the oath, and –
None of them keep it, Jack.
Because they don't even have an understanding of the document they're taking an oath to. It's like you saying you're a Christian and never having read the Bible. Come on, it's impossible. And you know, the oath was so important that the oath of office was the first law written that George Washington signed into law after the Constitution was ratified. They were so emphatic about the oath being so fundamental. See, but we've got that on. It's only a perfunctory thing that happens.
Hey, Jack, half the people don't even keep the oath of their marriage.
They don't know. They don't even know what an oath is, Coach. Yeah. I have asked in Maine all but one of the governor candidates if they've read their job description in the Maine Constitution. Not one. No, they don't know it. And so they're going to take an oath to something they've never read. Really?
Kevin, come on in.
Well, as Jack said, and as several have said, and as you have said, Coach, none of them abide by that oath. I hear Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie Taylor Greene had an affair on her husband, got a divorce for him, took his construction business. When she went into Congress, she had a net worth of about $600,000. She quit Congress, with $25 million. So, no, I mean, none of them have any principle. None of them have any integrity. And coach, that's why you're not in Congress, and that's why I'm not in Congress.
Hey, Kevin, because, no, you're right, Kevin, but here's what it is. We don't teach integrity in the church.
No.
We don't teach it in the church. And don't ever forget this, folks, Christians. What flows through the head flows through the rest of the body. Whatever you put in your mouth poisons the whole body, right? And so we go to church, and we don't agree politically because why? Half the people want to murder babies. Half the people want to support homosexuals. Half the people, yada, yada, yada. Divide and conquer. Oldest trick in the book. It's called denominationalism. David Arthur.
Hey, before David comes in, and as you keep saying, who told you that and why do you believe it?
Yep.
Coach, you don't know how profound you are when you come up with that, because everybody stands on what they think is a principle or what they think is right. But nothing is right unless it can pass the word of God, unless
right.
It can pass through the Holy Spirit. And without that, nothing is.
That's why they scream and holler separation church and state. They don't want the church to be the conscience of our elected officials. That's what it's all about. Go on, Dave.
I think what the issue is really with people getting mad and getting angry and not even understanding what people say is that it's like comparing apples and oranges. We're just because somebody has principles or just because somebody has some type of morals and values doesn't mean that they're a follower of the Christ.
That's right.
And it really should tell you that because of where they're at. Just because they have a position means they're not there. Where they are at means they are not a follower of the Christ. And so you can't expect somebody.
They're a partial follower. Yeah, they follow him. They don't follow his rules necessarily.
1 foot in, 1 foot out. And you can expect somebody who is not a follower of the Christ just because they have principles to compromise on different things. You can expect that. Because you already know that they can do that. They do it on everything else.
I had this discussion with Dave and Sherry Allison while they were here. God bless that. That's a great couple right there. Hey, folks, come on, man. Aren't you tempted to lie, steal, or cheat every day? Every day. And help me out here. Wouldn't you do it if you knew you could get away with it? Come on. So we elect guys to office, make them kings. Funny, they say no kings. Give them all kinds of money. No accountability. And then we scream and holler when they don't do what's righteous. Can two walk together lest they agree? What's the goal here? What's the goal? Well, I'm an old football coach. The goal is to win. And if the goal is to win, then I'm sorry, Mr. Tailback. You don't get to carry it 30 times. We're going to have to pass it a little bit. We're going to have to do some bootlegs. I know you want the ball every day, and I'm for you, and I love you, but we can't win doing that. So we're going to compromise and pass the ball a little bit. You guys with me? And come on. What is an oath to people who don't give a shit about an oath? Don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. Where am I? Johnny, come on in here. Sorry, I swore. No, I'm not.
Good morning. It was told to me just the other day, I thought really stuck pretty good with me, is that to define both parties, one is based on emotion, and the other one is based on practicality.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's why... See, it's not a sin. That's why they say that politics is the art of compromise. There's a difference between compromising politically and compromising in your own life. You say, well, coach, the two are connected. You can't disconnect the two. Yes, you can. You have to. Because we call that the lesser of two evils. So if I don't use Thomas, pick anybody, Jim Jordan, Jim Jordan. Sometimes he has to vote against his conscience. Because why? He's on a team. You say, well, Coach, he swore an oath to the Constitution. Come on. Supreme Court will change the Constitution tomorrow, you know. They'll interpret it for you and say there's a right in there for a woman to kill her baby. They'll say that, right? Even though the Declaration of Independence says life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, the Supreme Court says, oh, well, not today. Women got the right to kill their babies. They got the not today. It's compromise everywhere you look. Everywhere you look. I'm not going to compromise on my vows to my wife. I'm going to do it for better, for worse, richer and poor, sickness and health, forsaking all other, give myself under his both, as long as we both shall live. And if she wants to divorce me, that's her. I ain't compromising. Say, honey, listen, as far as I'm concerned, you're still my wife. Go ahead and do it. Go. I made a vow. You broke it. Not me. You broke it. And by the way, Christians take a vow to the Lord and the Ten Commandments and all that kind of stuff, and they break it. The Lord keeps his word. He keeps his end of the deal. But we break it. Folks, God, everlasting covenant with Israel, he will keep it. However, the oath and the contract becomes null and void when his spouse breaks it. Does anybody think that, huh? His covenant's our life. His word's forever. It's his wife. His wife chooses she wants to be divorced. He said, I ain't getting married to another one. I'm here forever, for better, worse, richer, and poorer. I took that vow, and I'm still yours. But you want to go? Okay, you go. I'm keeping my vow to you. And the only reason in the Bible, I'm just stay with me here a second, trying to connect a couple dots. There's one reason, one legal reason for divorce. Does anybody know the legal reason for divorce? Anybody?
Adultery.
Adultery only. Adultery only. Now, question we have to ask ourselves, Dale, good godly Christian man, what about Dale? What about adultery of the heart? What about adultery of the heart? Because in order for me to go out and sleep with another woman, I've already committed adultery in my heart. I've already made the decision that I'm not going to keep my vows. When I get a chance, I'm going to sneak out with that other pretty woman. And my wife will never know it. She'll never know it. And I'll stay married to her. But I'm an adulterer in my heart. And, by the way, if she finds out that I'm sleeping around, I broke the covenant. She don't have to keep it anymore. Come, folks, you get this? You get this? And so since we don't make people keep the covenant of protect the Constitution, pull that up there again. It is so vague. The Constitution is so, I'm sorry, yes, the oath of office, pull that up, Spence, is so vague. So vague. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Time out, man. What's that look like? What does that look like? Who are the enemies, foreign and domestic? Who are they? And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. Are they doing that in Congress? Are they doing that in Congress? Bearing true faith and allegiance to the same? No. And that they're going to take this obligation freely without mental reservation or purpose or evasion. And then I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of this office on which I'm about to enter. By the way, what are the duties of the office? So help me, Muhammad. So help me, Buddha. So help me. Hey, your word means nothing anymore. People lie. Huh? Come on. Your nose is growing. People lie and lie and lie and lie, pledge allegiance and faithfulness to you, and then talk about you behind your back. Make a vow to love your wife for better or for worse, for richer and poorer, in sickness and health, forsaking all others, give myself unto you as long as we both shall live, and then break the vow. Destroy children, families. I'm not trying to criticize anybody out there that's going through a painful, horrible divorce. That's not, if that's what you're hearing, you're missing it. What? I am the Lord thy God. I have no other gods before me. Boom. Say, hey, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? Hey, y'all out there. Hey, Jesus, they said to him. Hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Said, there's 10 of them, you know, Jesus. What's the greatest one? He said, oh, man, that's simple. that's really simple. So all of it comes down to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, your soul. And the second's like that one. Love your neighbors yourself. You love your neighbors as yourself. You won't lie. You won't cheat. You won't steal. You won't commit adultery. We won't. So we don't keep those two oaths. And nobody is expected to. We all say, oh, they're politicians. They all just lie. And we're okay with it. Go on, Dale.
Well, Coach, I mean, that's a lot to follow right there. But Romans 4:3 says, let God's word be true. And every man be a liar. So let's just settle that. Every man, you know, that thing about the adultery, you know, that Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, if you lust of a woman in your heart, you've already committed it. So was he trying to be more stringent, or was he trying to be more warning towards us? Because don't play in the road, right?
His laws are protective. They're protective, right?
Don't play in the road. Why? Because the consequences, right? Yeah. Will kill you. That's why he was saying those things. He was saying, look, because the heart is the problem. Now, watch this, Coach. I shared this last week. I said, you know, everybody wants to talk about, oh, the pastors and this and the pastors and that. Okay, so if you go to church, if you're faithful and you go to church twice a week, well, oh, two and a half hours maybe. And what about the 30 hours that the public school gets with your children?
Amen.
Oh, wait a minute. What, Coach, it isn't the church. It is not the pastors. What's happening at your own altar in your home?
Amen, brother. Amen.
Come on. You can't expect. I tell them, I said, it's not the job of the church to rear your children up. And, you know, we're supposed to preach the word truthfully. And I get all that. And we should lead by example. But what are you doing when you get home? What are your children doing when you're sending them to the public school? See, this is the thing that I kind of stump people on this. Listen, Thomas Massey, you know, I mean, give or take, doesn't matter. I don't live in his district anyways. But look, I live. What about Johnson? Right, he's the House leader. That guy defended me pro bono, Coach, in a lawsuit against Planned Parenthood. Yet I don't agree with everything that guy has ever done. Steve Scalise, who is my representative, and I don't agree with everything that guy has done. Coach, I've been married to my wife now going on 34 years. Guess what? We don't agree with that everything too, right? But we hold to the moral truth. So Thomas Massey, they said his biggest voting block was the younger people. And everybody was applauding that. And I said, oh, okay. You mean the ones that are being taught in the public school system? Those, that's his big voting block. And the older people, the wiser people, the old patriot Americans didn't vote for him. Who's right and who's wrong here? Right, Coach? You understand what I'm saying?
So, Dale, I'm looking right here, 1 Corinthians 6:18. As you were talking, this came to. Can you pull that up, Spence? 1 Corinthians 6:18. Applies to all of you, huh? Especially those guys in Congress who figure they can probably get away with it. Flee fornication. But one version says, flee immorality. For every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Hey, folks, why don't we start teaching again to flee immorality? Oh, I know why. Because we can't agree what immorality is. I'm okay, you're okay. I'm pro-choice. I'm pro-women. Huh? Oh, yeah. I'm pro-immigrant. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Coach, can I say this, just add to that? You notice it says flee fornication or flee immorality. It's the same thing in James. It says what? Resist the devil and he will flee. See, we think that we can go into D.C. with Jesus and it's going to we're going to change it. But bad company corrupts good morals.
That's right, dude. Huh? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Get the hell out of there. Get the hell out of there. Now, that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of those would say. That it's so wicked. It's so wicked. I'm fleeing. Okay, I get it. Hey, Massey. Hey, Massey. Release the files for me then. Release the files, will you? Huh? Release the files. Got nothing holding you back now, bud. You got 6 months or whatever to be there. Release the files. James Thomas, you've been waiting a while. Come on in, James.
Dan, I love you, brother. It's a web we weave of the nation.
Hey, and I don't. Hey, James. Yeah. James, this ain't an easy seat to sit in. Okay.
John Adams kind of made it pretty clear. He said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people.
Yep.
It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other.
Amen.
Yeah. That being said, we lost our Constitution when we became immoral and not religious. I mean, I don't necessarily look at the religious part, but we lost the relationship with Messiah. This Constitution is now a liberty. If you really look at what the Constitution, without it being a religious oral document, it is a liberty and a license to sin. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So
yep.
That's why John Adams says that if this document that we've signed, we all died and lost it all to give you this liberty. If you don't stay in this sphere of influence of this document, then this document will be a license for liberty to sin, i.e., the 79 or 80 billion or 20, however many little babies that are now with Jesus that has been aborted. That document gave that liberty for them to sin that much.
Yep, and that's that, right. I wish Thomas Massey was as committed to saving the unborn as he is to whatever principles, other principles he's hanging on to.
Yeah, I got a message from the pro-life gal down in Albuquerque. He said they're now doing full-term abortion down there. So, I mean, these people are, these are really, really wicked people. And I don't really see how we pull ourselves out of this. I really don't.
Let me show you why. Pull up number 7 for me. Number 7. Jude, I'll get to you, Jack. Pull up number 7.
Love you, brother.
Thanks, brother. You too. Pull up number 7, okay? To me, I think this is God's number one issue, to be honest with you, abortion. I think that's God's number one issue. Huh? Any pro-life leader who still believes women are second victims of abortion need to watch this video. It's a woman. Well, it's going to be hard for you to watch. This woman is trying to take a pill, a drink, that will kill her baby. By the way, she has a right to choose. She has a right to choose. Is Thomas Massey fighting that? Hey, I'm sorry. It's going to be hard to watch. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. And she drinks something to kill her baby. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going
to
eat 4 more so I can sit them, so I'm going to put them back in.
No, you want to take 4. You want to take 4. You want to take all the people.
Damn, that's money. You dropping the money.
How many?
It's right there.
Woo! Just take the big one, then the small one.
Woo!
The
Thank you, Jesus. Just take 2 for right now, Drake. You can take 2 when you get home.
Take the big one, then wait to take the rest.
Okay.
There ain't no girl.
Woo!
Yep.
Woo! Woo! That's the best gift. That's the gender.
Yeah!
No gender!
We got one drink,
kill it!
Ooh!
Fuck my baby daddy!
Fuck your baby daddy, bitch!
Fuck
my
baby
daddy! Yeah! Bitches claiming, you're the claimant, then I stop that page, you got two bitches choosing.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on in, Judah.
Coach, I don't know if I can follow that.
I know.
That is horrible.
Uh-huh. Women's rights. That's women's rights right there, brother. What are you talking about? To her own body, except she's killing another one. She admits it, right? She's taking this pill to kill that other body inside of her. Go ahead. Well, I wish Thomas Massey would focus on this. I wish he'd focus on that. Go ahead.
And again, I don't think we're going to get that answer. As we're being shown these details, you know, lots of different issues are rising to the top. And I always go, when I go to DC, it's a thermostat to be able to check the flight instruments, you know, airplanes when they fly. You can use your instruments to fly, or you can look out the window. And if you're in a storm looking out the window or at night, you can crash your airplane if you're not looking at your instruments. And as I look through DC, each time I go there, I look at the buildings, I look at the people, I ask questions, and that's the instruments that that give us where we're supposed to be going. One of the things I did notice that was very interesting, to say the least, is that obviously not only in the DOJ, President Trump has his picture on the outside of the building, communicating certain things, but I also noticed that under our military, you know, there's a military war manual. President Trump told us all that President Biden was executed. That was a public disclosure. He told the world that there is no Joe Biden. And then he also came out and he also told all of us that there was an auto pen. And who in the parties was signing these things when Joe Biden was not even with us? And these are declared truths now.
Would that be people not keeping their oath? Would that be, what do you think, Jeff? Would that be an example of people not keeping their oath?
Well, the gentleman who was speaking a little bit earlier had mentioned it. You know, it's a topic. And it was that book, Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike.
Yep.
This is the moral decay. This is the rot.
Yep.
This is dysfunction is the magic that they play.
Oh, man, I need a month.
And what's happened right now is that, so this is all being put on display, that these people, and if you understand, every one of these people that have taken this oath, they didn't take the oath to the Constitution. They took an oath to Freemasonry. And there's a huge difference, because in that Freemasonry oath, they are sworn to silence.
Amen.
And that's a huge difference. And even it's funny, because I had an intern or an office person take us around on a tour. And what I did notice was IRS building closed, Federal Reserve closed, the FBI building closed, and multiple other buildings, not only closed, I mean condemned. And so we see this show going on. But we look at the thermostat. So Washington's under military control. On every block, there is a fire team of National Guardsmen. Why are they there? And so you start to go look around this whole thing. President Trump, actually, every memorial that we went to over the weekend had a sign on it that said America 250. The president right now is in the process of cleaning up our city. And these memorials are being redone for those people to observe and to take in for our beautiful 4th of July celebrations. And each and every one I went to, I noticed they had either power washed them, they've repainted them, they've redone them. Went to the Thomas Jefferson Memorial, and same thing. It wasn't necessarily closed, but it was closed because they were redoing it. And the sign said, being open the 4th of July weekend for people to be able to partake in it.
Jed, I want to move on, man. I don't want to get bogged down on this. Something's going on. I get it. I got a couple minutes, sir. Play for me if you can. Spencer, it says hard preaching. Play this. Quickly. Wait a minute. What does it say? That's a... Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
If you listen to Joel Osteen, if you are basing your salvation on what he teaches, on his gospel, which is another gospel, you will die in your sins. Wait. If you are basing your salvation on what Kenneth Copeland teaches and all of his little underlings, these word of faith people, if that's what you're basing your salvation on, you will die in your sins and you will go to hell because it's another gospel. If you are enamored with Joyce Meyer and your salvation is based on what she teaches, you will die and face Christ without any hope of going to heaven.
Paula White, throw Paula White
Creflo
in there.
Dollar. If you base your salvation on what he teaches, and I know all of you will say, well, I heard him say Jesus. That's not the point. You see, a real man or woman of God will preach the whole counsel of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a false doctrine and a false teacher that only preaches one thing. They say, my thing is faith. Another says, my thing is healing. Another says, my thing is marriages being made better. And another guy has another thing. No, sir! The real gospel is not about one subject. It's not about, you know, some say, well, my gift is to teach on the Holy Spirit. And my gift is to teach. No, it's the whole counsel of God. It's heaven and hell. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's right and wrong. It's a holy life that the gospel demands from us every single day. And if you base, listen to me, your knowledge and your salvation on this stuff, you will die in your sins. But Pastor, they're helping people. Helping them what? Helping them do what? Helping them to become what? A better you? A better them? Live a higher life? Walk in a higher spiritual plane? No. You're not helped if you're motivated to live more robustly who you are. Instead of laying down at the feet of Jesus Christ and having the Holy Spirit break you to the point that you say, I don't need anything but Jesus.
Now, it's not much you hear.
Amen. 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 Jack, come on and wrap us up here. Got about a minute.
That's a little hard to follow. Wow. thinking as I've been reading through the scrolling through the chat and listening and all that, you know, there's a reason why God gave us the law before the grace. The law was written so that to bring us to grace, not the other way around.
That's good. That's true.
Without that, we don't know that certain things are variants of good or bad. See, the law is there. It's engraved in stone.
It's a schoolmaster,
right? And it's to bring us to repentance.
Yep, yep.
And you can't bring grace in first. If they'd have taught grace first, if the gospel, the Bible was all about grace first,
yep,
the law would be ineffective. The law would be stupid.
It's like this, folks. If you went to the doctor and he prescribed a bunch of medicines for you, at some point, wouldn't you stop and say, pardon me, doc, what's wrong with me? Oh, well, you have this and this and this. Oh, wouldn't you think that in order to take medicine, you'd want to know what the sickness is first? And the sin is the sickness. Christ is the medicine. But you can't give the medicine if you're not telling what the medicine's going to do for him. Make him healthy, wealthy, and wise, and rich. See you tomorrow.